Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vix Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for joining me on Comedy Arcade. Comedy Arcade is really fun. For the people who haven't listened before, shame on you. We have got a bingo ball full of random topics that we've crowdsourced mainly from Twitter. So some of them are fucking weird. The object of the game, if you've got a story, a song, not an interpretive dance because this is radio, anything related to that topic, you can jump in. I will score you based on how funny I find it. That's literally it. I've tried to come up with a fancy way to explain the scoring. It's that. It's just whim. It's complete whim. It's like when people ask me if I want hot or cold milk in a coffee in Starbucks. I have no rationale for that choice. I just say what I say. Yeah, so we've got three lovely comedians vying for the position, for the glory of the win, because there's no prize.
What?
We're all winners here. But like with any good crap Seaside Arcade, there are some cheats you can play. So each of you have got three cards in front of you. You have the new balls card. If you don't like the ball and want to take it somewhere else, you can play new balls and we will abandon that topic and think of something else. You've got double or nothing. If you think you've got an absolute zinger of a story, play the double or nothing card. If I agree, I'll double your points. If I don't, your points go to the person with the story that was better than yours. And on the penultimate round, you can play Fruit Machine. Now, Fruit Machine works by jumbling up everybody's scores, which means you might get your score back, which has happened. You might get a worse score because you're performing better than you think, or you might win. So basically, you could put a lot of work in and someone could steal it at the finish line.
Okay. Just like everything else just in like, life.
Yeah, just like mirrors life.
So yeah, without further ado, let's play with the balls. Yeah, I do that every time just to see how childish we all are. Well done.
Very childish. You didn't introduce us as people.
Well, I'm just going to keep rolling this and pretend that's not true. It's all about me.
Suddenly, as I said it, I went, oh no, I think I'm doing her a favour, but she might be like,
I'm just going to introduce you. No, I love it. Thank God. Imagine in the edit, I'll be like, fuck.
Who were these
putting
people?
On everybody's name. So how are you? That's not how I think your voice sounds.
That is what it sounds like.
I panicked. The male voice you can hear is the fabulous Sam Rhodes, Comedy Explosion.
Yes, hello.
Hi. I've got a Sam Rhodes t-shirt and it goes with the kind of eye makeup that I like, so I wear a lot.
Oh, great. I have been reliably informed that I'm kind of doing death metal hands, where I've got my hands up in the air. Yeah. And unfortunately, many of the women who've bought my t-shirt have gone,
it looks like you're
I'm grabbing boobs on the t-shirt. Yeah. I guarantee you that was not the intention. But you know, it is a nice thing. I'm not going to pretend I'm not happy about it.
You're supportive of women. That's good.
I am supportive of women.
Yeah.
In a very literal and figurative sense.
It's the support we all need.
Oh, yep. That was Sam Rose, ladies and gentlemen. And those who are a bit more progressive and maybe don't identify with either.
Yeah.
Yeah. My next guest is the fabulous Grainne Maguire.
Hello.
Comedy goddess.
Comedy
writer,
goddess.
Dreamboat, pesto lover.
Team idol.
And yeah, next to her, the premier Liza Minnelli, political commentator, actor, singer, comedy, triple
boots.
Threat. What is the 4-1 for triple threat? Quadruple threat. Yep, there we go.
I'll take it.
Yep, you. Sue's coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like eggs. I really like eggs. We were talking about what food we like before the podcast.
Yeah, there's no context for that.
I really like boiled eggs. That's how we check the mics.
It's the same with the pesto thing, actually. No, there was no context to that.
I'm sponsored by pesto pasta today, yeah. And Sue's is sponsored by eggs.
Zion's eggs.
Right, let's try again with the ball serve.
Okay.
Unless there's any other business I've forgotten, but don't tell me. Let's just carry on. It's ball number 3, which is bad holidays.
I think I'd like to jump straight in here.
All right, Sam.
I have an irrational fear of holidays because almost every time I've gone on holiday with my partner, whoever it was at the time, I have come home without a partner.
Oh, my God.
This is a genuine issue for me. I have been dumped on holiday 3 times in my life.
Why would they do that? Why would they go on the holiday?
Well, the thing is, I think I'm fun and mysterious, but yes. Then if you actually have to spend 2 weeks with me, they go, that is enough. I have had enough. I had, you know, we're still very good friends, but one of my ex-girlfriends travelled all the way to New York to dump me.
Did she do it on the top of the Empire State Building?
That would have been good, wouldn't it?
Sam was down on one knee. No, this isn't going to work.
It was on 9/11.
The worst thing was,
are we allowed to laugh?
Yeah,
around that subject.
Yeah, because it's the UK, so it was on the 9th of November.
Smooth save.
Yeah, it was literally the day of my most. I don't know, the biggest gig I'd ever done. I was headlining at the UCB and she flew in that morning, and literally before the show she was like, yeah, I don't really want to be your girlfriend anymore, but we have this little apartment we've rented for the next 2 weeks, so that's going to be fun.
And so of course, she stayed around.
Oh,
but
good.
Just
yeah,
not
we were there
you.
For 2 weeks.
Was it the most awful fortnight? Or was it all right?
Also, big gig though.
Well, yeah. The weird thing was that day was just the strangest day ever, because it was a really terrible thing. We've been dating for 7 years. Yeah. And the worst thing and the best thing in the same day. And I just had to compartmentalize in my brain. I was right, okay. I've been dumped, but now I have to do this show. So instead of crying, I'm just going to be right, okay, let's deal with this.
Channel the energy.
Yeah.
That final scene, if that was a film, would have been powerful.
I know, it would have been, yeah. So, yeah, that's why I don't like holidays.
No, fair.
Wow.
Totally fair. Because you've just been to Russia, though. So.
Oh, yeah, I've just been out to Russia, yeah. It's beautiful
out
there.
Well, it wasn't really a holiday, but that was worse.
No, that was a tour. That's the legitimate.
That's exempt from the breakups.
I do, I'm sure you guys have this. You have the holiday drinking and spending rule, though, that I definitely apply when I'm on tour, which is that money spent on tour or on holiday isn't real money, and it doesn't count.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and same for drinking. Drinking done on tour or on holiday is not real drinking. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a Tuesday evening, you know, where you've had 8 pints, you're this is fine because I am on tour.
And also Corona times now as well.
Exactly, that's right, yeah.
It's the airport of time, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And, you know, in Russia it's still £1.50, £2 a pint. So who am I to say no, really?
You were a millionaire.
Oh, that's crazy.
The worst thing is, I was on my dole money, I could live a king out here.
Yeah. It's like that because, I'm from Wales and my uncle-in-law's got a pub in Aberkenfig, and it is like that there.
Oh, really?
I'm
so
you've charged
it's quite
me
Soviet.
Wrong. You've charged me wrong. This is not £2.50. It's great. I feel like an absolute baller. I'm everybody. I got talked out of, in Cardiff, which is getting quite expensive, they tried to talk me out of a bottle of champagne because I thought it was a good deal at 40 quid. For a bottle of champagne, a reasonably good deal.
In a pub,
I was treating my mum. I wanted to show her a good time for Mother's Day, and they almost wouldn't sell it to me. they were but the Prosecco is on offer. It's $12.99. I was like, yep, I don't $12.99 Prosecco is not nice.
It's going to suck.
It's that one with the chessboard on it, isn't it? They sell in Tesco's. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't taste of anything. I was like, I don't want it. But it's like, but this one is £40 and this one is £12. I was like, I understand. I understand the maths. I just really, can I just...
That's really funny.
Can I just have this, please? And they really just didn't want to. Like, wow. He was ringing it up with regret in his eyes. Like, this girl's a muck. And then I took it back to the table and my mum was like, I don't know why you got that. I can't tell the difference.
So, yeah. I can remember being at uni. So I went to uni in 2003 and I can remember you could get a gin and tonic for £1.50 in the uni bar. And now... I can't, like, my brain doesn't quite compute that drinks are now more than that. So if I have to pay £6 for a gin and tonic in a London bar, I go, that's crazy. I don't know why this place hasn't closed down. And I've had my revenge, haven't I? I have now. Huh?
Yeah, that'll learn them.
Yeah, teach you.
I get like that in Wetherspoons. Like, I love Wetherspoons.
The prices
so
are
much.
Outrageous.
No, but they're just, I feel like I can have the lifestyle I feel at this stage of my life I deserve as long as I exclusively eat and drink in Wetherspoons. I go in, I'm like Woody Allen. I can eat out three times a day, buy rounds for everybody. Yeah. You just have to do it all in Wetherspoons.
Yeah, there's a price to be paid. It's just not, it's not a cash price. It's like, yeah, tea and coffee's free all day.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It's freelance so life. You buy good. One, you can refill it yourself. Yeah. So there's not even any shame. It used to be self-service. It was great.
Now they come to you.
But I think it's a good test of where you are as a person. If you can be like, if you're a true socialist, you should be going to Wetherspoons, not all these hipster cafes. Be like, well, do you want to be a flaneur sitting around reading novels all day? Yes, it's in Wetherspoons. Make your choice.
Yeah. It's got Wi-Fi. There's usually a plug point.
But no drinks from Europe anymore.
No. Yeah.
So.
There's also a man with only one eye who makes a funny noise in my Wetherspoons, which is always a delight, you know, when he's
under water. You miss him when he's not there.
Yeah, so you do miss him when he's not
there. It's one of those things, like the local eccentric, you're a little bit disappointed. It's like, no one's shouted at me today. I think I'm that person in my local pub, though.
You're like, oh, there isn't one in. Oh, hang on.
Oh, yeah, it's me. It's like doing my comedy gig there as well. So I do feel like part of the staff. Like, I could get behind the bar and serve myself a pint. I think they'd let me, but they wouldn't be happy. Yeah. Bad holidays, then. That's where we started.
Bad holidays.
Did anybody else? Look at you with your lovely holidays.
I just don't go on holiday anymore.
Oh.
I went to Vienna 2 years ago with my mum because she's not from there. She's got loads of family there because we're Austrian. And so we're going to stay with some family out there. But that was my first holiday in like 10 years. And it wasn't really a holiday. It was 3 days in Vienna going, doing lots of smiling for family members you don't know that well. So it didn't feel, I haven't lounged in the sun. Oh no, I went to Morocco last year for someone's 60th. And it was a good holiday. However, you weren't allowed to flush the toilet.
Oh, I hate that.
You had to. You could flush the toilet.
There's a little.
But you can put tissue down it. You had to put your wee and poo tissues in a.
Yeah.
So
no.
I just started flushing any tissue.
I was like,
who's going to know? And then the second time I did it, everyone was like, oh, fuck. I fucked it, guys. And I just walked away. I like.
Do they not have biodegradable tissues in Morocco then?
It was weird. It was regular loo paper.
It's like that in Cyprus, but we could do it because we were trying to adhere to it. I went on like one of those girls' holidays that cost like 10p back when we were 17. And we were all sleeping in one bed, right? There were beds for everyone.
Right.
There was a double bed in one room and a sofa bed in the other. And the three of us were all bitches. So no one wanted to be the one that was left out. So all three of us slept in the bed, even though it's really hot.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, but it's not cute, is it? Because it was, we were like, no, you're not going to talk about me behind my back. I'll be with you all the time.
Because you're bitches.
We're still best friends now.
Oh,
but,
I would have picked the room on my own. Yeah. I'd be like,
oh, yeah, now, without hesitation.
Yeah.
But back then, it was like, oh, no.
I see, FOMO.
Yeah. But we tried to adhere to that rule, but the cleaner came in once while we were all still in the bed. And we could hear her retching when she opened the bin. We're like, right, that's it. We're going to stop retching. Like, I mean, she's seen some things. She works in a hotel where you have to put your shit rags in the bin. And even she could not cope.
It's too much.
So that was a bit embarrassing. We were like, oh my God, is she... She's retching. I don't like those holidays. That is a holiday ruiner, that is.
I want a flushing toilet.
You think it's not much to ask?
I'm a bit of a princess. Yeah. I like to flush my loop.
Yeah, I don't want a room where I keep my shit in a little bucket next to where I go to the toilet.
Sorry, I'm just a bit of a princess.
Or at the very least, like a Japanese toilet experience where tissue's not necessarily required.
And they sing over your wheeze and that kind of thing.
I aspire to that toilet. I have not experienced one, but I want to.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Other people dream of like other things. For me, it's like, oh, imagine if I was rich enough to have a Japanese toilet.
Yeah.
And like, practically wipes your ass for you.
I think it does. I think it dries it off. Yeah. And everything.
There are settings. My friend went to Japan and sent me. Right. Let's move on.
Okay.
That was bad holidays. Right. What we've got coming out next. And it's number 22, and it's birthdays. Got thoughts about our birthdays?
I've had
a birthday.
I've had a birthday.
you've done that comedy course as well, have you, about relatable material? He's had a birthday. Hey.
My worst birthday was it's a true story. So, like most comedians, when's your birthday?
February 1st.
I'm November.
No, when's your birthday?
July.
Okay, well, usually like most comedians, my birthday is in August.
Oh, fringe.
And so many comedians have their birthday in August because the theory is that if your birthday is in August, you're the littlest in your year group because that's like the cutoff point.
I was, the second youngest. So I'm 24th of July and always in the holidays.
I was the youngest in my year because I was a year above. So it still makes sense.
Yeah, because we're little, so then we have to like defend ourselves and be all cute and adorable. So loads of comedians have their birthday in August, and I remember one year in the middle of the Fringe Festival, I got so hammered, like so day drunk, I staggered. This is so embarrassing. I left my flash. I did a gig completely hammered, don't remember the gig. Then I went to Jenner's completely hammered, got my whole face done, bought a load of makeup that I don't remember. I remember I bought Yves Saint Laurent mascara, which is like...
Oh, she bougie.
It's the stuff. It's the stuff.
It's Jenna's like a department store.
Yeah. Really fancy.
For the muggles.
So wandering around. And then I headed... So the plan was that I was going to meet my friends in a pub for my birthday party.
Gotcha.
Arrived there at 6 o'clock. There was nobody to be found. What had happened was... in my brain, I put it, because earlier I'd been talking to my friends about how I'd always wanted a surprise birthday party. So when I went into this pub and I couldn't see any of my friends, I immediately was like, oh my God, they organised it. So I was wandering around shouting at all the chairs and looking behind the curtains and looking underneath the table, convinced that all my friends were hiding. And all the locals were just looking at me like, what is she doing? And what it turns out is I was just in the wrong pub. But I spent a good half hour.
Oh, that's
just
lovely.
Being like, you can come out, I'm here.
Oh,
that's really cute.
Yeah. So,
but you got there in the end though. So at least the story wasn't they just hadn't turned up. Yeah. It should have been dark and harrowing.
I just went next door and they were all just looking at me and I was so disappointed because I was like, I thought I had a surprise birthday party. They all just sat there with a Marks and Spencer cake. I was like, it's very disappointing.
Calling a caterpillar, right? Yeah. Great.
Fantastic.
We can either, for me, go for the sad story or the drunk story.
Ooh. Sad drunk.
Sad drunk. Well, the sad drunk, which is just me during lockdown.
Not comedy gold, that one.
I think the most memorable birthday for me is another really boozy one. There used to be a little sort of Belgian beer pub, which was owned by a big Motorhead fan. And I was a big Motorhead fan. So we got to be good friends and he'd always give me free shots and extra beers and stuff. And I think it was about 19 years old and we were in this Belgian beer bar and we'd rented the whole downstairs. And the barman was just giving me you know, every other drink was a free drink. So I'd probably had about 10. And I was so drunk that I dropped the past three drinks I'd been given because I was just holding my hands in like a circular hole. And then people were putting a beer in. And then I was sort of just putting my nose into the beer to drink. I was that drunk that I couldn't even lift the drink to my mouth anymore. I was drinking like Donald Trump. Do you know what I mean? And a friend of mine, he was like, right, we're doing Sammy's. We're doing Sammy B's, Sambuca's. I said, all right, cool. Because he said, you're Sam, so we'll do Sambuca's for your birthday. Aww. So we had a little lineup of flaming Sambuca's.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, what's the best, Sam? I said, what? He said, well, you know, like real men drink it while it's on fire.
Sure.
And of course, I was as drunk. Mm-hmm. I was as drunk as you could possibly be. So I just kind of picked it up. And because it was hot to put my lip on, my response to this was basically just to throw it at my own face.
Wow.
So I just threw, like, I just...
You threw fire?
I threw a flaming Sambuca at my own face. And then I was like... not very much. Oh, it kind of all went around my mouth and I was like, ow, you know.
Yikes.
And I just carried on drinking. And then the next sort of 2 weeks, I had a big part of my moustache was missing. And I was genuinely afeared for a little while that I'd never grow it back because I was like... burnt my moustache off on my birthday. that was quite fun. That was a good one.
That's exciting.
That could have ended much worse.
Could have been. You see those videos, don't you, on the internet? People just going up in flames because of that sort of thing.
There's one called the Triceratops that I watched a video yesterday. I think it was a TikTok. and it's a guy that attached the flaming Sambucas by seal to his forehead in a three and then like moved around like he was a dinosaur, then drank them. And I was like, I had a lot of questions about that. I don't want a drink that's already touched my sweaty forehead. I don't want it to be on fire. Maybe I'm too old for Sammy B.
They are
never
good,
had
I think
it.
I'm all right with it.
Oh, I love it.
I've never.
With shots, I basically have to have a bad hangover as a result of a shot, and then I can never have that shot again.
Okay.
So I've had bad hangovers with basically every type of shot. That world is closed to me forever.
You're into the niche ones now. Yeah.
It's one of the things about the sanitizer everywhere now. Some of them you spray out and it just smells like awful cheap cognac. And
yes,
I've had such a bad experience of drinking cheap cognac that sometimes I get a little bit of hand sanitizer, and I just go...
Brilliant.
Bamboozled by Black Friday? When is a sale not a sale? Do you know what? Often, to be honest. The brands that you love are constantly changing their prices, and the only way to really keep up with them is to use something like the amazing alerta.co.uk. Now, how Alerta works is you put in the product that you want to track, and it tracks it for you. You don't have to do anything. You just put the link in, and away you go. It tracks it, lets you know when the price drops, and then you can make an informed decision and bask in the glow of not only getting your item, but knowing you've got the best in on the market. Using Alerta, you never have to pay full price again. You save going into the scrum of Black Friday and Christmas sales. So it's a win-win for everybody. So track everything from your shoes to your champagne. You can tell the kind of person I am by what I've just told you. That is alerta.co.uk, and thank you to them for supporting our show.
Right, let's carry on. The balls. Oh, we've kind of covered some of this off. Ball number 13, the cringiest thing you've ever done.
Oh, shit.
Plumb those depths.
Oh, I've got this... I am a man who is never embarrassed. Right? I do not care about what anyone thinks about me at any given point because I've just always been like that. But when I saw this listed, one thing flashed into my mind, which then just like haunted me the whole of the next day. I just completely oppressed it. Do you know what I mean? And
this that's is just, what I want,
and it's just like the weirdest experience ever, right? So when I was 13, I was dating this girl, and we used to go to her house, and we'd all watch horror movies, and it was me and her, and then her friend and her boyfriend. It was like three little couples of couples, mm-hmm. And you know, I was a young man, and I was all excited, as you can imagine, and as I said, this only flashed back to me like now. So we were watching Evil Dead 2, and her mum had to come in and tell me off and tell me to stop dry humping her daughter in front of her and her new husband.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God, like, I was like, oh my God, I did that. Do you know what I mean? And she did that as well. And it was so weird, like, when I thought about this whole thing.
But because how could I have done that?
Yeah, like, in a room full of, like, six people, me and my girlfriend, and my girlfriend's parent, and her new, the parent's new husband. And the husband kept kind of like coming in and like touching me on the shoulder and being like, just,
oh wow,
just a little bit of space
like
for
a,
you two,
like
please.
A dog.
It was Jesus.
Exactly. Like there was just like a horny dog in the middle of the room. And the two of us would like then start to re-entwine again. Wow. And he would have to get back involved. And I was like, I had to be told not to do this like four times. And I was like, this says so much about the brain of a 14-year-old boy that yeah. I was like, here's my chance. I don't care if the mum's here.
Yeah. You've got one opportunity.
Exactly. So, and like literally now I just thought about that when I hadn't thought wow. about it in about 20 years.
That's going to ruin your next like 3 weeks.
Oh,
well.
It really, and like as soon as I thought of it again, I was like, gotcha. Oh my God, I can't believe I did that. How must have everyone else in that room must have felt, do you know?
I'm feeling the second hand.
Yeah, it was, and I just felt atrocious. And it was just last night when I was like, I can't sleep now, can I? I'm just sitting
I'm
here
there, right
on my
there.
Own. You know, God
think
knows how.
This.
Yeah, like,
oh,
must
wow.
be. Yeah, nearly 20 years later, and I'm right. just like, I can't fucking deal with this.
Oh man.
Yeah, it was just the. Oh man, and I'm just. If Laura's mum and new husband or now old husband are listening,
they probably hate each other now.
I'm really sorry that I did.
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
It really did.
Huh. Who amongst us hasn't?
I haven't
dry
in front of any
parents.
No.
No. No. I was just trying to cheer you up, but no. That's
awful.
That shame is all your own.
It is all mine. And I they should have just thrown a bucket of water on me. But yeah, it was awful. And I'm so embarrassed about it. And as I said, I can't.
You're getting quite red now.
I know. Yeah. I'm genuinely, like, aww. Recalling this event is making me embarrassed. And I am, as I said, I never get embarrassed. I don't care.
Someone,
but that
please
embarrasses
share with
me
because like we need someone
else to jump this in. Right, okay.
We can't
this...
just leave the rounds on that.
Just silence. I think the next 10 minutes should just be silence.
Just
respectful silence.
The first week. This is the first day of lockdown. Mm. I shat my pants in public.
Coming in strong.
Tell me everything.
Like, I mean, I would have played the Double or Nothing card for you. Like, this is like, you were already. Like,
so what happened was, remember, relatively early stage me with a boyfriend.
Right.
When I need to go, especially if it's number two, I do not get much warning.
Right. You're like, we have a minute to play
yeah,
with.
Yeah,
right.
It's like the train's leaving the station. You need to get on quickly. And I was in Waitrose of all places. That's the worst part.
Oh, no.
That's the bit that I'm most embarrassed about. I was in Waitrose. I could feel movement. Something was happening down below. So I was like, I need to get home as quickly as possible. And with me, because this isn't my first rodeo, I knew all I had to do was keep the tension below. Just keep it tense, keep it tense. Keep walking really quickly. Mm. And I think what happened was I was walking down the street, run, nearly home, nearly home. And then I had this feeling where I thought, oh, it's fine. I don't need to go to the toilet anymore.
It's gone back up.
I said it was like, oh, it's fine. And then I was like, hang on, that's not a good sign, is it? If I suddenly don't need to go to the toilet anymore.
Oh my God.
Maybe that's not a good
oh,
sign.
Oh, I see.
So I got home and our flat is small. It's it's bedroom, bathroom and kitchen, living room.
Right.
Simple people. And and earlier the, keep in mind, about the day before, I'd had an argument with my boyfriend because I lose loads of Lush stuff and I don't clean the shower afterwards. And my boyfriend was like, you leave brown stuff all round. It looks like you've pooed yourself. And it got really, I was like, that's Lush. Like, show some respect. That stuff is really dear. So I went into the bathroom. I pulled my pants down. Knickers were right off. They were a right
straight
off.
Straight in bin.
So what I had to do was, no, because there's no bin in the bathroom.
Oh, God.
And he's in the kitchen living room. I'm about to spend 3 months in lockdown with them. So what I did was I stuck them into the shower cap, pulled my pants up.
Yeah.
Ran into the bath, ran into the bedroom, pulled a pair of PJs on, ran into the kitchen, secretly put the shower cap into the bin. Perfect crime.
Yeah.
I honestly felt like it was Midsummer Murders and I got no way.
Did you not consider rinsing pants in sink?
No, it was too late. It was too late.
Oh,
they
had
seen things that no Nicola should have ever seen. But the worst part is, so I was feeling really smug, as smug as somebody who had just shot their pants could be, but I was feeling really smug.
He won.
And like snuggling on the couch with my boyfriend, maybe I can have it all, really smug and happy about myself. And then I couldn't find my phone charger and my boyfriend was like, oh, for God's sake. So he went into the bedroom to get it and then I heard him call out my name. And it was the formal way he called out my name. I thought, oh dear. And I went in and he was stood by my side of the bed. I swear this is true. And he was looking down what can only be described as like a cattle track of human shit on the floor. And because I hadn't been aware of it, I'd actually trodden in it a little bit.
Oh, no.
So it looked like cave paintings all over the floor. And then he looked down at me and he looked at me and he said, listen, is this more of your lush stuff? And then we had lockdown.
I knew what you were going to say. And then we had sent.
Did you try and pass it off as lush stuff?
Yes.
You have to be like, I'm afraid it's shit.
Yes, I used a shit bomb. It's £5.
Because I was trying, I was like, how? I just shot myself, okay?
I love it.
Oh dear.
Shall I do one?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not about.
We need it.
It's not about shit. But it's similar.
It's caveat.
Okay. So the year, I'm just like, my face is hot from your story. The year was 2018. And it was January 2018. And I was in a awful musical and there was one guy in the musical who we were like totally bonded over how awful the musical was, and he was really good looking and I was always trying to really impress him, and he was about 6'1" and could drink a lot and did, and I would try and match him drink for drink, and one day we were drinking in Wetherspoons for 7 hours and I matched him drink for drink and drank more than him, because at one point I ordered on the app rhubarb and ginger gin and he was like, this is absolutely repulsive, so I had both of them. And my last memory is it was about 9 o'clock and he went, oh, I really want to see that film Three Billboards Outside of Missouri. And I went, we should go and see it right now. And that's my last memory. And then my next memory is being shaken awake in a cinema by two members of staff going, hello, please tell us your name. Please tell us your name. But I've got, because when I'm really, really, really drunk, I'm either out cold, or I'm completely wide awake and aware of everything. I don't even seem that drunk. I just seem really a lot. And I went, oh, I'm Suze Kempner, like that. And I remember everything from this point. And they went, do you feel like you can walk? And I went, yes. I was in this packed cinema and I just marched out of there and they chased me and they sat me down and passed me water and they were like, knelt down in front of me and they went, do you feel like you're going to be sick again? And I was like, what? And I had like a big patch of sick on my leg.
Again. Like, oh.
I 33. At this point, I was 33. And I went, oh, and I've never been sick from drinking. That's the only time. And it was only a bit, so I think it was a burp that went wrong. And I went, oh. And then I was really drunk and really apologetic. So I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And they said, who are you here with? I said, my friend Evan. He's kind of this guy I'm in a musical with. I don't know. There's a good vibe. And they went, they said, you were in there alone.
He deserted you.
So I didn't have my coat with me or anything, or my bag or anything, and so I didn't have my phone. And they said, what film were you seeing? I said, Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. And they said, no, you were in the screen for The Darkest Hour. I went, oh, and I went, I didn't want to see that. I went, I wasn't, I'm not interested in. And they went, okay, we're going to go into Three Billboards and try and find your friend Evan. I said, no, please don't. He's really been looking forward to this film. So they were so nice. They said, we'll sit with you until that film is over, because they'll come out of that exit, because that's the only exit. And if he's got all your stuff, that's great. But if he hasn't got your stuff and he's not there or whatever, we'll just put you in a cab, send you home. They were so nice. But I didn't have my keys to the flat or whatever. And then they went, and then we sat outside this screen and I told them all about different serial killers. And then at the end of, then, oh, and Three Billboards had over an hour and a half left. And then he came out, he did come out at the end with all my stuff. And he was like, oh my God, thank God. I thought you'd died or something. He said, I went looking for you, I couldn't find you. And I went, I was sick on my leg. And then he went, let's go and get McDonald's. So we eat McDonald's while I sobered up. And
big fan of Evan.
I said, what happened? He said, well, in the queue to buy tickets, you insisted on paying for tickets, then you asked for two gin and tonics and they wouldn't serve you. Oh, and he said, and I told them not to serve you, even though they'd said, we're not going to serve you. And I went, oh. And then 5 minutes into the film, I'd... turned to him and said, this is too intense and I need a wee. And then I'd got left the cinema, but I'd climbed over every seat in front, even if people were in them. And I'd obviously made it to the toilet. I haven't pissed myself. But then
sure.
I don't know how I managed that. And then I'd walked into a random screen, sat down right at the back, thrown up on my own leg, and probably some poor person in that cinema had to go and find... A member of staff said, that girl has been
not well.
Sick.
Not well.
She's disgusting. And we never ended up going out with each other.
No,
and he
I'm
left
not.
The country, actually, didn't he?
He couldn't cope.
It's like a sliding doors setup, you know. If you hadn't have been sick on yourself, what would life have been?
I mean, something you've got to feel better about yours now.
Yeah, like, no, that's fine, yeah. These both make mine pale in comparison, but that's fine.
Yeah. Our stories... kind of compliment each other because yours worked out really well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
You know, and in the world of in the fast paced world of comedy, it's good to know that there is still no topic funnier than shitting yourself. You can write the fanciest political satire in the world, but still you can't be a good
you beat it.
Shitting yourself is like the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club.
You're comedy writer.
Yeah. You'll never top it.
Yeah, next time I need a new hour, I'm just going to start shitting myself in public to see which one of them becomes.
Or collecting other people's stories.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, we unbelievably ran out of time.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
We only got through like four topics. Possibly less. So while I do the complicated maths of single figures to work out who's what, let's all go around and talk about what we're doing with our lives. Sam, let's start with you.
I'm trying to write a musical.
I know a guy who lives in Canada.
Yeah,
who I
great.
Kind of owe.
I have just booked my childhood hero to appear on my podcast.
Woo!
I've booked Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
I've
yeah!
got the voice of Kermit great. The Frog.
What
Steve,
do you mean the voice?
Steve Whitmire.
You know, you've got Kermit the Frog,
got,
or you ain't
yeah.
got anybody.
I've got Kermit the Frog.
Okay.
It's not real, Grudge.
27 years Steve Whitmire was Kermit the Frog. He's in Labyrinth, he's in Dark Crystal. He is literally my hero.
Oh, that's amazing.
And yeah, you know, I got a message like from Kermit the Frog saying, well, I call him Kermit, it's not
yeah,
his real name.
Kermit the Frog.
But he was like,
sure,
oh,
he was like,
oh, I watched your comedy special and I really enjoyed it. And
aww.
And it literally made me cry. I was like,
oh, that's
no
so
one,
nice.
Anyone can say anything about anything I've ever done now. And I'm just going to go, well, Kermit likes it, so forget it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to come on the podcast and him and his agent have been discussing how his new character is going to, because I do like a character-based podcast where we play different characters. So I'm going to have one of my mad characters interact with one of his, and it's going to be very, very exciting.
Oh,
and I literally just confirmed that this week, so I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Granny, what about you?
Well, I'm a Chandler now.
I'm a Chandler. You know, comedy is over.
A transponster?
No, I make candles. I make candles now. That's my job. That's my life.
I thought you meant if our friends.
Yeah,
I
was like,
no, no, what, you work in an office and you're nervous? Right.
And you're looking at the weenus.
And you're playing
happy.
Doom on your laptop.
I'm sus the lay of the land. I see the way things are going and I've got a second career, like Rishi told me, and I make candles. So I'm living my Little Women dream life. I just...
It sounds quite pleasant, to be honest.
If anybody wants a candle, just at me on Twitter.
Okay.
I haven't needed to retrain because I'm a professional podcaster and I make like £100 a week. So that, and that's all you need ever if you live in your mum's house. I do two
and she
out. It's actually, I need, I should start giving her some money, to be honest. I bought a saucepan on Amazon and I'm like, is this enough? And
you're,
she just went, thank you, but she didn't say yes or no. My poor mum. I do two podcasts. Do you like cocktails and true crime and mysteries and stuff?
I'm a white woman, yes.
Yeah, exactly. We all women love serial killers. We've established this. That's what I told the cinema staff about. I do a podcast called Mystery on the Rocks with comedians Chris Stokes and Masood Milas. We do that. Do you like Queen, the band Queen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Great. I do a podcast about that as well with comedian John Robbins and others.
Can I please be on that podcast about Queen? Literally like a massive, massive Queen fan.
Oh, probably. We are, so far our guests have been Tim Staffel, who was the lead singer of Smile, who were with the band before Queen.
Nice.
So he was the lead singer before Freddie.
Just managing your expectations.
And he's not bitter at all.
He's not. Do you know what he went on to do? He went into set design for TV. He built all the sets and models for Thomas the Tank Engine in the 80s.
That is pretty cool.
That's so cool.
So yeah, we were like, how come he's so okay with everything? Oh, because he had an amazing career.
Yeah,
I do that. It's called Queen Pod. Go and listen to it.
Amazing. Well, to be honest, Sam, you were riding quite strong with 9 points off 2 categories, which is pretty good. But then Grow Your Shit Herself and Suze is Sick Over Her Own Act. So they are neck and neck winners on 16 points each.
I graciously concede to that. I mean, I can't complete that.
Yeah,
can I?
You could. Yeah, it wasn't worth winning for the cost. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for Comedy Arcade. It's been an absolute riot today. Tune in again next week. Thanks for listening. There will be a new episode with new competitors and new balls every Friday. If you like what you've heard, I've been Vix Layton, and this is Comedy Arcade. Please tell all your friends, rate the show, and hit subscribe. And if you didn't like it, I've been Jess Fossacue, and this was Hoovering. Isn't food lovely?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.